while ago, my dad found a bike out in his back shed. He's retired now, and he thought that given that he rode a lot as a teenager, riding his pushy now would be a great way for him to, you know, keep fit, keep on top of things in his retirement, you know, stay a bit healthy. My mum tells me that he was doing this bike up, and she said he was doing a pretty good job of it. He was running up and down the driveway, testing out the gears and the brakes and everything like that. Mum said she was in the bedroom one day and she looked out the window. She sees him flying down the driveway and the bike stops. But Dad doesn't. He flies head first into the hedge on the side of the driveway, and she said she was laughing so hard. She said it looked so funny. It took her what felt like ages before she thought she'd better go out and see if he was okay. Which, of course, he was fine. It was just his pride that was a little bit damaged. So after his hairy start, Dad's continued to ride his bush bike and has become one of his favourite pastimes. So that's what we're going to talk about today, getting fit. So we're going to hear from a woman who was really inspired by one of our very first stories. So meet Pam.
Now I'm 45, I've got two teenage kids, one's just finished grade 12 and the other one's starting grade 8. And I work as a bookkeeper for a small charity in Brisbane. And I enjoy life, and my hobbies are at the moment staying fit, because I enjoy the feeling that it gives me, but it's taken me 30 years to really work that out.
You might remember Dave from the story Life Changing Moments. Dave really struggled with his weight, and it wasn't until he had a diagnosis of diabetes that he made changes in his lifestyle. So Pam's going to share her story about her own struggle with diabetes and her journey to a healthier, happier lifestyle.
Welcome, podcast listeners. You're listening to Tell Us Podcast, everyday stories brought to you by everyday people.
I feel fit and healthy most days, except when you have a weekend of boozing and partying, and then you feel like crap, and then you realise how good you feel when you've been exercising, so you go back on it straight away.
How do you feel now compared to when you were younger?
Oh, I feel better at 45. I think I feel much healthier now. In my 30s, I was having babies. I wasn't one of those mothers that was all organised and everything, so I'd be running around in circles and then run around in a circle and then go, oh, now have a drink and a cigarette, 10 cups of coffee. So, yeah, definitely more focused now on the body. But I got time now.
So there's obviously been times in the past where you didn't feel so good and so healthy in your body?
Yes, all my life I've played sport. Tennis and netball have been my passion. I've never really had a weight problem until my 30s, after I had my second child. I never put on too much weight with my children, and I lost it quickly after, so to start losing motivation and start putting on weight really shocked me, as it had always been pretty active. So off to the doctors I went, and I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, a disease which slows down the metabolism. I will never forget the specialist appointment, and he said to me that I had to take medication for the rest of my life, which is thyroxine. He also said to me that I've never forgotten this, that it was no excuse just to give up my sport, and that I still had to keep my weight under control even though I had a disease that put weight on. So I'd never forgotten that, and I remember feeling really energetic when I started taking the thyroxine tablet, but I still had to battle then to keep the weight on.
What the hell is
Seven years later and approaching the big 4-0, I had spent years on crash diets like meal replacement, Weight Watchers, soup diets, etc.
Did any of those diets ever work?
Short term they'd work, and if, you know, while you were on them,
yeah.
As soon as you went off them, back on the weight.
Did you have to exercise while you were on those diets?
Walking, and walking's crap really, it doesn't do anything. When you eat the size of meals that I could eat, I wasn't walking enough to take it off, do you know what I mean? I've only learnt that now. You can't eat, you know, a plate full of pasta and walk for 20 minutes. It's not going to work. Or eat McDonald's and then go for a 20-minute walk. Yeah, so I was excited about turning 40 and I wanted to embrace it and accept it aging gracefully, but a few months later, on holidays to New Zealand, I started to get really exhausting and amazingly lost heaps of weight really quickly, but I felt and looked awful. In New Zealand, with all the plans to bungee jump, jet boat, bushwalking and climbing glaciers, I was just too tired to do any of it. On return from my holidays, I just got worse and worse and thought I just needed my thyroid medication increased, and I went off to the doctors and had some blood tests. And my doctor ran a few other routine tests, and the next couple of days she rang to tell me that my glucose levels were really high and I needed immediate medical attention, which was 7 o'clock that night. I was booked in for an MRI to check my pancreas, and as I just lost a close cousin to pancreas cancer a couple of months earlier, I was panic-stricken. I believed I'd had cancer and was just, after just watching my cousin die an awful death. My doctor even told me that that's what they could be looking for. So what a relief when she sat me down and said I'd had type 2 diabetes. I was happy but concerned at the same time. I knew it wasn't a problem if I looked after myself. Harder than I thought.
So when you say you needed immediate medical attention, what did that mean?
Back to the doctor's surgery. And
that night
at 7 o'clock, I think she rang me at 5 o'clock. Back into her surgery at 7, which is unusual for a doctor to hang around. And to a specialist who stayed back at 7:30 in the hospital for me to come up there and see him. And he put me on lettuce leaves for a week, just to eat lettuce leaves, tomatoes and carrots, and take a type 2 diabetic medication to see if I had type 2 diabetes. Just eating lettuce leaves. But they had to see what type of diabetes was. And after the second day, when I went back for my appointment, it hadn't changed my glucose levels at all. So that's when I had to be sent into the hospital daily to learn how to inject insulin. Well, that's all it was. I wasn't allowed to eat anything with carbohydrates, sugars or fats in it. Well, it probably wasn't even a week. It was probably only a couple of days, but it felt like a week. Well, I was so stressed at having, thinking that I had type diabetes, I would do whatever they said. They'd sent me away with that and tablets to take, which is prescribed for type 2. And then 2 days later, I was back into the same specialist and then into the hospital.
Don't kids usually get type 1 diabetes? How did you get it later in life? Like, do they know how that happens?
Yeah, it's juvenile diabetes, even though I act like a juvenile sometimes. There's a lot of theories. One's hereditary. Environmental is another theory. And a virus. If a virus attacks your body, it'll attack your weakest organ. These are all different theories that people have come up with or research has come up with. But I jumped out of an aeroplane in June that year, and I think I got such a shock of doing that the shock in my system might have. Yeah, so that's, and because I know someone else whose son that was 25, and he jumped out of an aeroplane at 25 and was diagnosed 6 months later with type 1. So, I don't know. So I was relieved, but I still had to do a lot of tests, and I was sent off to hospital. And apparently my glucose levels were so high that I was only days off being in a diabetic coma. So weeks and weeks of specialist tests, education, I was on the road to living as a diabetic. Slowly my weight gained and I felt better. I got over my needle phobia, which is injecting insulin 4 times a day. And trying to eat every 2 hours was a chore, to think about food every 2 hours. And sometimes I'd forget and I'd have a hypo, which is an awful feeling when your glucose levels drop. It's described to friends and family, if you look like you're drunk and you're not drinking, then your family and friends know that you're having a hypo. So you start to sweat disorientated, anger. My everyone has different symptoms. My stomach just starts to churn and nauseate, and I lose focus and can't work out where I'm going or what I'm doing. So that's why a lot of people think that diabetics are drunk when they're really just having a hypo. So yeah, so then because I was so scared of having them, because it's embarrassing too in a public place, and I'd have them at the checkouts, and then I had a fear of going to the shops because I'd have a hypo. So then I started to overeat because I was scared to have one. So naturally, I started to gain weight, and insulin apparently puts on weight as well, so I got a double whammy. So I started to think, great, I'm 40 years old, I'm on thyroxine, insulin, and overeating, I had no hope. Over the past 4 years, with a lot of help from a dietitian, I finally got eating under control, but still my weight wouldn't shift. So no matter what I did, walking every day, playing tennis, nothing would budge. So I was so disheartened. Yeah, so 3 years ago, there was this Genesis gym being built up the road from my place, and my friend Charmaine said, let's join, it'll be fun. I said, okay, I'll give it a go. Been to a lot of gyms and never stuck out the membership, but anyway, I thought if it's so close to home, I might get down there. But 9 months later, I was doing heaps of classes and pump and RPM classes, and nothing would shift the weight. Then I seen heard an advertising for a competition that's called Body for Life, and it's not bodybuilding, but you're doing a lot of weight training. And I thought, I can't do that. I don't have the time or the money. Then Charmaine did it, and she looked amazing after the 12 weeks, so that inspired me to give it a go. And I was still scared of having hypos, but I thought, I'm going to have to, you know, live with the diabetes and give it a go. I was apprehensive because I didn't think I would enjoy doing weights and training every day. It was 3 times a week, getting up at 4:30 every morning. That was for the first 2 weeks, and then it was 5 times a week, getting up at 4:30 in the morning. 3 times a week, Marina, who would, she would train me with weights, and on the other 2 mornings she expected me to do cardio, and then just for fun on the weekend she'd like to go for a run. Just for the fun of it. So yeah, it was a huge commitment. It was a really huge commitment, but I was focused then. I needed to get my weight and diabetes under control. So thank God for Marina. What a champion this lady is. Every second day she'd motivate, push, inspire me to go through every training session. I was so uncoordinated, weak, and I had no technique. I was such a gumby. Even early on, she and another trainer had to bring me back from a brink of a massive hypo. I didn't realise how much weight training quickly stripped glucose from my body. I was so embarrassed. I was never going to set foot back in that gym again. But 2 days later, I was back at it again, and luckily I did, because it was the best thing for my health and well-being.
After that, after feeling so embarrassed, what made you go back? What was it that got you there?
Her telling me on the phone that you get your ass back down here. You're not giving up that easy. And the other trainer was experienced in training people with illnesses, like whether they've had cancer or diseases or anything. So he was experienced, and he would, her and him would, yeah, just made me get back down there. And my doctor wanted to study my progress for future type 1 diabetics. My HbA1c, which is a glucose blood test that they do, was 11%, and after 6 weeks of doing the challenge, it dropped to 7.5, and perfect control was 7%. So I was wrapped with all this hard work had paid off. Still, the weight loss was slow though, but my body was slowly changing, and I'd whinge about the weight still being on, but my stress sizes had dropped, and I'd whinge to Marina every week, and it used to drive her mad. But as a true Yoda, she kept motivating me and getting me to do different cardio and different changing weights every week, and I realised I had been become quite addicted to training, and truly believed that I'd found my passion. I started to stress if I couldn't train or I ate or drank something that I shouldn't have. My doctors were so impressed that everything has been documented and used for other type 1 diabetics. Doctors, family and friends were impressed that not only has my physical appearance changed, so has my mental state. I've taken on more challenging a more challenging job and doing things that I normally wouldn't do. I did the Variety Bash, raising money for disadvantaged children in the outback, driving a rally car out bush for 10 days to Bathurst, and doing the Bridge to Brisbane 10K fun run. I thought the Body for Life challenge would take up too much of my time, but in reality I have much more time because I'm more motivated and energised. After 10 years of trying to lose weight and tone up, I know for sure that I have found what really works. Whether I was diabetic or not, I will take what I've learnt on for the rest of my life, I think. So if I do have a few weeks or months there, I'll know what I have to do to get back into the swing of it. But after doing it for so long, you want to do it again. You don't want too long off. Thank you, Genesis. And a huge thank you for my friend and mentor, Marina. Without your training and pushing me, I don't think I would have come this far. So if I can pay it forward and inspire one relative, friend or a complete stranger, I will always consider myself a true champion. I feel bloody fantastic.
So what was the hardest part of that whole journey?
Waiting so long for the weight to actually come off. It'd be 6 weeks before you'd even see anything change.
So how did you stay motivated to keep going?
I don't know. I don't know if it was the trainer keeping me motivated or myself motivated, but I don't think I could have done it without someone motivating me. I'm one of those people that need to be pushed.
If you hadn't had the diagnosis with the diabetes, do you think you would have done it?
That was a big motivation, was the diabetes, but I don't know, I think I might have done it. And there's a lot of people there that do it, like there's 70 to 100 people doing the challenge every few months. Not all with diabetes, so I don't know.
In that 12-week challenge, what was the thing that you had to do that took you most out of your comfort zone? Actually, you don't have to tell me that if you don't want to.
You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
Well, it is up on the wall at the gym, so I was bad. I had to wear a hideous spray tan, bikinis and high heels. I haven't worn a bikini since I was 20. And I don't make it a rule to wear high heel shoes with it. And you have to have before and after photos for the awards night, and they judge you on how much your body has changed physically in that 12 weeks. And at that time, you're feeling quite, I can do this, because you look at your before photo and you think, oh, yes, I have changed a lot. But when you look back now, 18 months later, you just think, oh, my God, what have you done?
You think you look better then, or you look better now?
Oh, no, I looked better then, because I was training 6 days a week. And you had, and I had a tan. And high heels make your legs look muscly. No, I felt good, but then they make you feel very up yourself when you're doing those things at gyms. Like it was a club that was formed, and it was the Up Yourself Club, because when you got to that stage where you felt good about yourself, you did feel really good about yourself.
And congratulations, you won.
I won. Life membership. See? It was worth the bikinis and the stupid spray tan. So, yes.
So with all the exercises that you had to do and all the things, the new things that you learnt, what do you enjoy most now?
Running. Yeah. I enjoy running. I do a pump class, only because I need to keep that muscle tone, but I would rather run than do that. But now it's like a habit now. It's such a habit, how they say it takes 21 days, apparently, change a habit. So, yes, it's a habit. But I'm not completely obsessed with it now, like I was in that 12 weeks you have to be, but now it's a few times a week
that you run.
Or I'll do any exercise. But now I like to do mountain climbing, mountain running, and riding push bikes, which is quite intimidating to be on a push bike and riding, I reckon, but the more you do it, the more confident you get. So I was the same when I started running. Start running and feel, oh, I can't do this, but now quite confidently run. So I need more things now to motivate me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that story. And don't forget, I'd love to hear from you. So if you've got a story to share, email me at teller2teller@gmail.com. That's teller, T-E-L-L-E-R, 2, the number 2, teller, T-E-L-L-E-R, @gmail.com. Well, until next time. And remember, everyone's got a story and everyone's a teller.